Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. My name is Rebecca Whitman, and I'm a success mentor. I believe there are seven pillars of success: your spiritual life, your physical fitness, your emotional, romantic, mental, social, and finally, your financial life. When you get all seven areas in alignment, you are balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I learned this the hard way. I've always made money. Unfortunately, I spent so much time making money that I never had time for the rest of my life. So, despite not having financial worries, I was never happy. I wanted romance, but I didn't have time to date. I wanted to be in great shape, but I couldn't find a moment to go to the gym. I wanted a more spiritual life, but I didn't meditate. That also takes time. I wanted to read great books and fill my mind with deep thoughts, but I never made the time. I wanted a great social life, not just going to work-related events. Emotionally, I was a wreck because my life was totally out of balance. Today, I earn more money than I ever have in my life, and I work only part-time. I have the relationship of my dreams. I'm in the best physical shape of my life. I'm spiritually grounded. I feel fulfilled mentally, socially, and emotionally. My life is in perfect alignment. This podcast will help you discover where your life is out of balance. My mission is to support you in achieving work-life balance so that you can have more fun and freedom in life. On my show, you will get to learn from experts in all seven areas of abundance. My guests have achieved tremendous success in their zone of genius. Are you ready to go to a level 10 in all seven areas of life? You got this. Hi, this is Rebecca Whitman. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, Abundant Show. We are doing a little bit different podcast format today. I have been asked to co-author a wonderful book, which I'm so excited about. And the book is about phenomenal feminine entrepreneurs. And these are some of the questions that I will be asked to write about in the book. I thought it would be great to voice them here in the podcast so you guys could get a sneak preview before the book comes out. So the first question is, what has driven you to create the success that you have? What is your why? So my why is to leave a legacy. I don't want to be on this earth for no reason. I don't want to walk this planet in vain. I want people to have felt my presence, my love, and my service. And I want people to remember me in a positive way and what I stood for. And I don't want to have any regrets. So I don't want to look back at my life when I'm on my, deathbed and going, oh, I would have, could have, should have done that. I want to just use up every second, every moment to get the maximum I can. Because life is short and we don't know where we're going after this. We think there's an afterlife, but I will never be Rebecca Whitman again. And I want to get all the experiences I can from this experience as Rebecca Whitman. The next question is, if you were to choose three words that describe who you are as a woman, what would that be? Wow. I would say bold, intelligent, and funny. I would say bold because I have always just been outgoing and bodacious and precocious. Even as a little kid, I grabbed a mic and jumped on a stage. The first time I saw a mic in a stage. Let's see, the next question I said is intelligent. It's very important to me to learn constantly. I am forever a student of life. And the third thing is humor. And my father taught me that there's humor in everything, even the most morose subjects. There's always humor, and to always find the humor in everything and not to take myself so damn seriously. The third thing is, what role have vision boards and clearly defined goals played in your life and business? Well, I have been doing vision boards since I was a kid, since before they were called vision boards. We used to call them collages, and we would cut out images of what we aspired to and create collages. We even put images in our lockers. So we were practicing vision boards and the law of attraction way, way before it went out mainstream in The Secret. And clearly defined goals are really important. So in one of my classes called the New Year, New You Workshop, we write out our goals for the year every January, and we have clearly defined goals in the seven pillars of abundance. So spiritual goals, emotional goals, physical goals, romantic goals, mental, social, and financial. So it's very important. Living life without goals is like playing a game with no goals. Imagine playing basketball with no basket or soccer with no goals. It's kind of pointless. So I like to say that a goal is a dream with a plan. The next question is, how do you quiet the shame gremlins that say, who do you think you are or you're not enough? Wow. So the one that I deal with is not who do you think you are. It's more you're not enough. So you're not enough. I combat negative self-talk with affirmations. So I have three affirmations that I say when I hear I'm not enough. And I say this to myself all the time. I was just getting a massage today. I was saying it to myself. I say it during my workout. I say it when I'm in the shower. It's I am enough. I have enough. I am willing to set myself free. I am willing, because we are the ones that create our own prisons with our negative narrative and our negative mental habits. So I'm setting myself free from my prison of negative thinking and being open to being enough, being empowered, being comfortable and happy with exactly where I am. Another one that I really like is I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, because one of my gremlins is woulda, shoulda, coulda, and it's the gremlin of perfectionism. So perfectionism is literally beating myself up. So if I take the words woulda, coulda, and shoulda out of my vocabulary, there's not many words left to beat myself up. So I take out would have, should have, and could have, and then I use the affirmation, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be on my spiritual journey. I'm not supposed to be anywhere else. Celebrate where you are right now, because you too are exactly where you're supposed to be. The next question is, what does a rich and prosperous life look like to you? So to me, happiness is success. People can define rich and prosperous by money, but in my opinion, you can have all the money in the world, and if you're miserable, then what's the point? So to me, the most successful person in the room is the happiest person in the room. So when I go back to a high school or college reunion, I'm not looking to see who made the most money or has the most social status. I'm looking to see who's the happiest, and that's the person that I aspire to be. I want to be the happiest person in the room and just happy in my life, because that's the whole point of coming here to planet Earth, is to experience joy. And one of my favorite spiritual teachers, Michael Beckwith, says that joy is the evidence of God. The next question is, let's see, through your feminine lens, what does it mean to be a leader? So through my feminine lens, so the masculine paradigm of leadership would be pushing people, whereas the feminine paradigm of leadership is inspiring people, motivating people to find the strength and the goals and the fortitude within themselves rather than pushing. And to me, all great leaders, male and female, they lead by example. Nobody wants to follow a personal trainer who's 50 pounds overweight and chain smoking, people want to be inspired by their personal trainer because their personal trainer is in shape, and leadership is the same way. So my mission is to lead women to be unapologetically authentic so that they can live their life with resilience, grit, and grace. So guess what? That means I get to be unapologetically authentic. And if I am leading by example, I am going to find my tribe who also aspires to be unapologetically authentic. The next question, what role has vulnerability played in your success story? Vulnerability is not something that came naturally to me. So I grew up as a competitive tennis player. By the age of 8, I was playing in tournaments, and I was taught to be really tough and to win. So being vulnerable is something that I have learned as an adult, and more I've learned it through Facebook, through social media, because I know that if everything looks perfect on my feed, then I'm not going to have real connections with people. And if I really want to connect with people, then they have to see the good, the bad, and the ugly, not just the good. And every day it's something that I'm working on and learning to be more real, more authentic, more vulnerable. Messy is totally okay, especially in 2020 when everybody was working at home. Even newscasters were messy because they were broadcasting from their home. So I think vulnerability is something that I am continuing to work on, and it's such a great quality. So the next one, whether being interviewed or interviewing others, what role have these connected conversations played in your business? Wow. So I just had an amazing interview today on my podcast. It was magical. Having a connected conversation with someone, it makes me feel alive. It makes me feel like I'm in my heart. It makes me feel vulnerable. I think connected conversations and really taking in somebody's personality and their humanity and connecting with their soul, it's an experience unlike no others. And in business, people will do business with you if they like, know, and trust you. So unless you're having connected conversations with them and really getting to know them and knowing what they want and what their vision is and what their pain points are, then it's impossible to have a connected conversation unless you're connected, present, and really listening. I think listening is a lost art form. We have two ears and one mouth because we're supposed to listen twice as much as we speak. The next question is, what is the most difficult decision you have ever had to make to pursue your dreams? Wow, I would say that is deciding to get divorced after 3 years of marriage and in my early 40s. So I married someone who was, you know, he was a fine person, but I married him out of fear. I was 39 when I met him, and I thought, oh my God, this is the last house on the block. If I don't have a baby with this man, then this is my last chance. So I tried to make someone fit into my dream guy who was not my dream guy. And I ended up putting a lot of pressure on him. So he resented me. And I was constantly upset because he was just not the type of man that I really wanted to marry. So what happened was I didn't end up having a kid, thank God, because that would have been really challenging. And I had to not look good. So we looked like the perfect couple. We had a dream wedding. It was on a yacht. It was absolutely gorgeous. We looked so happy and in love on our social media, but we really weren't. So in order for me to step into my greatest version of myself, I had to be willing to walk away from a relationship that wasn't serving me. I had to be willing to look bad. I had to be willing to fail. And now that I'm on the other side of it, now it's 4 years later, I am engaged to the love of my life, and he is what I'm looking for. There's no biological clock ticking. You know, we've known each other already for 3 years. By the time we get married, it'll be 3.5 years. And it's just right. It's not a situation that I forced because I was trying to make something happen that probably was never meant to happen in the first place. So that was my toughest decision, is getting divorced. Okay, the next question. What are your core guiding values and why? So my first value is fun. So I really agree with Abraham Hicks. They say that life is supposed to be fun. If it's not fun, what's the point? We're not here just to work and toil. So my whole philosophy in life is I don't live to work, I work to live. I don't want to be 65 years old and, look back on my life. Two-thirds of my life is gone. I've spent all my time in a cubicle with bad fluorescent lighting, with bad air quality, spending hours and hours commuting, having only 2 weeks of vacation a year. That is not a life to me. So I don't want to live to work. I want to work to live. Yes, I want to be successful. Yes, I own four businesses. And you could say that, I am a self-made millionaire through my assets, but I am not obsessed with money. I am obsessed with living a 360-degree lifestyle where I have all these seven pillars of abundance and balance. I have a great spirituality. I have a wonderful fitness regimen. I'm wildly in love with my fiance. I have time to walk my dog twice a day. I have time to meet a friend for coffee and catch up. So these are some of the really, really important things that I make time for in my life. So that's the first one. The second core value is freedom. I love freedom. So if you're working a job, you're trading time for money. You get paid by the hour or by the year. So you get either an hourly wage or yearly salary. And in both instances, you're trading time for money, and time is finite, it's limited. So if you're trading time for money, there's only 40 hours in a week or more, if you work more, 52 weeks in a year. So I want financial freedom. That means working in a way where I get paid what I'm worth, not based on the hours. So I've been in all commission sales all my life now for over 25 years, and I love it because I get paid what I'm worth. I don't get paid for my time. The other thing that freedom is freedom, financial freedom. Having money gives you freedom. So I don't want money for money's sake, but I want money for freedom's sake. And to me, money gives you the freedom to do what you want, when you want, where you want, and with who you want. And that is true freedom. So if you look at it that way, money gives you energy to have freedom in your life, and that is worth striving for. And my third core value is vitality. So health and wellness are so important to me. One of my income streams is I am in a health and wellness company, and I love health and wellness. I have been into working out, fitness. I was an aerobics instructor in high school. I've always taken supplements. I've always really wanted to take care of my health and wellness because health is wealth. If you have your health, you have everything. You can create anything from the point of being a healthy person. If you don't have your health, you can have all the money in the world. You can make $1 million a day, but if you can't go out and enjoy it, if you're stuck at home in bed, what is the point? So those are my three core values: fun, freedom, and vitality. The next question. What are the top three things that make you come alive? So this question really got me thinking, and it's actually already helped my life because I forgot that music makes me come alive. I've been so interested in this information golden age of the podcasts and the YouTube videos and, being in a limited series like the one that we're doing right now. And they're great, and I love learning, and I'm constantly expanding my mind. But music is so important to me. So I have, since being a part of this limited edition series and these awesome questions, I've been listening to more music. Music changes your state. For me, I feel music affects me on a cellular level. And if I can change my state, then I can get more results, more happiness, more joy. So music is something that's really, really important to me. The other thing is my dog. I love, 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 love my dogs. So I have one dog. This is my second Labrador. I am specifically obsessed with Labradors. To me, they're just everything that's good about life. They're pure love, they're fun loving. When they need to, you know, be aggressive and, you know, stand up for themselves, they can do that. They are learning, they're listeners, they're intelligent, they're playful. They love life, they love people, they love food, they have a great sense of humor, they're in the moment, they don't take themselves too seriously, they know how to cuddle, they know how to trust, they know how to forgive. I just love them so much, and I just get so much peace through just interacting with my dog. One of the great things about being at home is that I get to, you know, have intervals of work and then connecting with my dog. And the third thing that makes me come alive is fitness. I love moving my body. I love what it creates. So when you exercise, you get the same chemicals naturally that people put in psychoactive drugs. You get the endorphins, you get the dopamine, and you get the serotonin and the music. So two out of the three things that, you know, make me come alive are in working out. And I don't plan my day around my workout. I don't fit my workout into my day because it's so important to me. The next thing is, what self-love rituals do you prioritize and why? Wow, self-love is so, so, so important to me. So when a woman practices radical self-love, she pours from a full cup. A lot of women are trained to give, and neglect their own self-love and self-care. So for me, the number one thing is I get 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. That makes me feel so good when I get a lot of rest. The other thing that I do is I do a morning practice. So I have an amazing life-changing journal format, which I have been doing since I was 19. I call them my God journal. I have so many God journals that I could pile them from the floor to the ceiling and then some. They have changed my life because they changed my thinking. The way the journal prompts are, they literally flip your negative thinking to positive. So if any of your listeners are interested in these life-changing journal prompts, I'm happy to give them to them. But the woman who gave me the journal prompts, I met her when I was 19, and she was never to be seen again. And I really think she was an angel. She gave me this paradigm-shifting journal, which I've been doing, like I said, for I don't even know how many, you know, 30 years. And then she disappeared, but her journal format has changed my life. So that's an amazing ritual. I try to do the journal in the morning. If I don't do it in the morning, I do it at night. And then another self-love ritual, I already talked a lot about exercise, is probably yoga and meditation. So I try to do meditation every day. I don't do it perfectly. There are some days that I miss. But even if you can just sit there and just breathe for a few minutes, I really love the Insight Timer app because I can just, no matter how much time I have, even if it's 3 to 5 minutes, I can find a meditation that fits into that increment of time and just sit there and breathe and listen and just get out of my head. The next question, what is your favorite strategy to unhook from procrastination? Wow, that is a great question, and I've been procrastinating doing this interview. So what got me to do it today? Well, caffeine helped. I'm like, I'm just going to make myself an iced coffee and just do the interview. Wow, procrastination is such an enemy because it's so much easier to say I'll do it later. It's so much easier. But when something comes up, the second it comes up, if I do it, then it won't end up on my list of things to procrastinate. So a big hack for procrastination is, let's say that you're on a call with someone and they're like, oh, can you email me some information? If I write it on my things to do list, then it might happen in a week or two. If I just do it right then in the moment, then it's done and it's off my list. So the biggest thing I can do is just do it now while I'm thinking about it. If somebody's name pops into my head, that's my divine guidance. If I forget to write their name down or if I forget to call them, I might not ever get that download again. But if I act on it right away, go, oh my God, Sally's name popped into my head. I'm supposed to call her about this business project I'm doing. Boom, I call her, it's done. So the best way to get unhooked from procrastination is, as things occur to you, just do them. The next question is, what would you say to women who feel they should be able to do it all without a tribe, community, or coach? I would say you can, but it's not going to be as fun. It's not going to be as smooth. It's a much, much harder road. So what I love about having a mentor is I can just follow their business model. So a success principle is find somebody who has what you want. And if you do what they did, you can get what they got. So whatever industry you're in, you find someone in that industry who's a mentor or a coach. And if they're willing to show you how to do it, absolutely. Just follow their lead. If somebody has the tools that you need to make your journey easier, why wouldn't you take it? So I know a lot of women are scared to invest in themselves, but you're investing in yourself and your goals and your dreams and your vision. There's no better investment than yourself. And if you stay on that path, you will eventually make your money back and then some. So absolutely, I don't think I would have the business I have, the podcast I have. I don't think I would have the relationship that I have without hiring coaches to help me and support me. And then I'm also in lots of communities. So the reason why I met Edwina, the woman who is compiling this beautiful book, is through a community of graduates from an incredible leadership transformational training program. So community is everything, because if you have goals and dreams and you have a community that is cheering you on and guiding you and inspiring you, that makes all the difference in the world. I like to say that community creates immunity. So if you're in community and you're down, then you have other community members to lift you up. So definitely find your tribe. Get the community of people who have what you want, and they will lift you up. Okay. The next question, whose voices do you tune into for a guaranteed dose of inspiration? So I'm so excited. The person I just interviewed today on the Balanced, Beautiful, Abundant show, my podcast, her name is Jessie Lee. She is the number one money earner female in network marketing. She has an incredible podcast called The People's Mentor. I have been obsessed with it lately. So I love her voice. She is unapologetically authentic, and she is just hilarious. The other voice I tune into for inspiration is Abraham Hicks. I know I mentioned them earlier in this interview. But I like the YouTube videos. Abraham Hicks videos are short, anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes. And if I'm feeling down and I listen to an Abraham Hicks video on YouTube, I'm not in the same space after the video. I mean, they really, really help you stay calm and just put things in perspective. The next question. What roles have coaches or masterminds played in your success? So I know I mentioned that before. Coaches have been so important to me. They have really, really inspired me, and they've given me a lot of advice and systems. I have two coaches right now. Masterminds are amazing because team stands for together, everyone achieves more. So I really like the mastermind concept because I get to learn from everybody's questions. I get to learn from everybody's input. God speaks through other people. So the more people I can be exposed to, the more opportunities God has to speak through them. The next question, do you think you would be where you are now without having worked with a coach? Why or why not? I would not be where I am now. I would not have the Balanced, Beautiful, Abundant show, which was ranked top 5% globally in the world for podcasts. Like I said, my relationship was directly from a coach. So much, this interview that I'm doing right now was, you know, from a group, a mastermind group. It's so important to find the right coach, to find the right community. What am I the most grateful for? I am the most grateful just to be alive. So being alive, having an incarnation is so rare that there was this ancient, I don't even know if it's Buddhist or not, but I heard about it. It's an ancient poem or something. I'm misquoting it, but they said that the privilege of having an incarnation is so rare. It's like a sea turtle putting its nose through an inner tube in the middle of the ocean. So having the chance to be on planet Earth, having the chance to eat the food, smell the smells, hug the people, learn the lessons, make the connections, go for the goals and dreams, that is what I'm grateful for. Just grateful to be alive. The second thing I'm grateful for is my health. It is so important to me to take care of myself. I had emergency gallbladder surgery a year ago, and I was not able to eat, walk, or go to the bathroom for 5 days. I was hooked up on an IV. Most people, it's just normal, simple in and out procedure, but I had complications because I had an infection. Wow. I was so grateful when I got out of the hospital for my health. I was so grateful just to be able to breathe easily and walk easily and eat food and digest food and have a beating heart and have my next breath and be able to listen and see and hear. And just health is just such a privilege and it's such a gift. And then the third thing I'm grateful for is romantic love. I have had so many trials and tribulations in my love life, so much drama, so many broken hearts, so many just toxic relationships that just de almost destroyed me. But I have been resilient. I did have faith that if it was meant for me to be with someone, that I was open. And I had faith. I hit such a bottom after my marriage that I was surrendered that if I'm not supposed to be with someone, I'm just going to be happy to be around with high vibe, high energy people. So I am finally in love with my soulmate. We're getting married at the end of this year, 2021. We're getting married on 12/21/21 at 12:21 p.m. Yes, I'm crazy. I like alignment. And it is so great to have a partner that sees me, that believes in me, that's my best friend, that laughs at my jokes and I laugh at his jokes, that I think is just so attractive. And he feels the same about me. And it's just a beautiful thing. Love is what makes the world go round. All kinds of love are beautiful, but romantic love is, it's just something I hope everybody gets to experience who's listening to this or reading this. And finally, my top three guilty pleasures. Oh my God. So, celebrity gossip. That has been my guilty pleasure since college when I started reading Us magazine. And celebrity gossip, it's fun. I know that a lot of celebrities hate it because they're like the paparazzi is making money and the paparazzi is, impeding their freedom. But just, what people are wearing and what diets they're on and what workouts they're doing and who's dating who, I just think it's fascinating and it is a guilty pleasure. Another guilty pleasure is caffeine, which I'm drinking now. I know it would be probably better for my health to not be addicted to caffeine, but I'm not willing to give it up. I love the feeling of being caffeinated. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. I've been talking so much. I've been talking a blue streak. Wow, the third guilty pleasure. The third guilty pleasure is online shopping. Yes. I don't buy like, $10,000 purses or anything crazy like that, but give me a good deal. Health and beauty products, I love them. I love a good deal on Amazon. I love supplements. I love workout clothes. I love workout shoes. I love just regular fashion. So yes, I am an online shopper. It's not out of control, but it is something that gives me a lot of guilty pleasure. And finally, what qualities do you see when you say she is a phenomenal woman? Wow, I see someone, a woman who is in her power. I see a woman who is authentic, who feels comfortable in her body, whatever body size she has. I see a woman who is strong and who makes empowered choices. I see a woman who is not a people pleaser, who doesn't care about what people think, who knows how to please herself first. I see a woman who knows how to connect and have successful relationships, both business, romance, and social. I see a woman who feels beautiful in her body and in her mind. I see a woman who has a positive energy and a positive mindset, and you feel her positive energy when she walks into the room. And that is the end of the interview. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And if you're listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, Abundant show, please give this a 5-star review and rate it and share it and subscribe. We so appreciate our listeners. We love you so, so, so much. Take a screenshot, share it in your story on Instagram and tag me. I will reshare it and promote you. I'm just so grateful that I've been doing this podcast now for 50 plus episodes, and I love my listeners. I love being a stan for what they can be. Thank you again for being a part of the Balanced, Beautiful, Abundant show. Thank you, Edwina, for these amazing interview questions. When the book comes out, I'll definitely announce it on the podcast or maybe have you as a guest so people can get the book and hear other phenomenal women's perspective on all these amazing interview questions. I know the book is going to be absolutely off the charts. So thank you, everyone. Stay tuned next time for another amazing guest.
Who says you can't have it all? I'm proof that you can. You just have to put your life into balance. Too much of anything, money, fitness, socializing, can overtake your life. When all 7 aspects of your life work in harmony, you will achieve the balanced, beautiful, and abundant life you've always dreamed of. Please subscribe to hear more inspiring interviews. Is there someone you know who could benefit from this podcast? Please share this podcast with them. Please review this podcast. Your feedback will help me target your needs and plan for upcoming shows that answer your questions and feature guest speakers that can make a big difference in your life. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rebecca E. Whitman. Feel free to DM me to book a free balance assessment call. And don't forget, stay balanced, beautiful, and abundant.